The word of God given to us today is Luke verses 10 to 17, page 106 in the New Testament. Luke verses, chapter 9, verses 10 to 17. When the apostles returned, they reported to Jesus what they had done. Then he took them with him, and they withdrew by themselves to a town called Bethsaida. But the crowds learned about it and followed him. He welcomed them and spoke to them about the kingdom of God and healed those who needed healing. Late in the afternoon, the 12 came to him and said, "Send the crowd away so they can go to the surrounding villages and countryside and find food and lodging, because we are in a remote place here." He replied, "You give them something to eat." They answered, "We have only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, unless we go and buy food for all this crowd." About 5,000 men were there. But he said to his disciples, "Have them sit down in groups of about 50 each." The disciples did so, and everyone sat down. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke them. Then he gave them to the disciples to distribute to the people. They all ate and were satisfied, and the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. Amen. Today's scripture is about the 5 loaves of bread and the 2 fish that you're probably familiar with. This is the only miracle that is described in all 4 Gospels. The fact that this event was recorded in all 4 Gospels indicate that it was a great surprise and tremendous miracle to the disciples and the people of the time. Even if 6 brothers and sisters grow together from the same parents under one roof, the memories, feelings, and recollections of events could be different. The oldest may remember an event, but since the youngest was too little, he or she may not remember. After parents passed away, brothers and sisters who have aged get together for the holidays or on special days and recall the past. During those get-togethers, if one of the siblings asks, "What do you remember most vividly about our parents when they were with us?" All of them could unanimously say, "We used to live in a house of 6 rooms, with 1 for our parents and 1 room each for every one of us. But because of our father's business went bankrupt, we barely got a 2-bedroom house and had 1 for the boys and 1 for the girls for 3 years. If we asked the apostles of Jesus, "What do you remember the most about Jesus' public ministry with you?" They would have responded, except for the cross and the resurrection, the event of 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, even if their memories and recollections may be different. Another evidence that the miracle of 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish was a great surprise and an amazing event to the disciples and the people of the time is that people try to make Jesus king after the miracle. John chapter 6, verses 14 and 15 says, "After the people saw the sign Jesus performed, they began to say, 'Surely, this is the prophet who is to come into the world.'" Jesus, knowing that they intended to come and make him king by force, withdrew again to a mountain by himself. The prophet means the Messiah. Jewish people, who were oppressed by Romans at the time, was yearning for the Messiah. They firmly believed that if he came, He will free them from all of their sufferings. When Jesus fed more than 5,000 men with just 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, they thought he must be the Messiah they were waiting for. Now it's not so different from then. For each country in this era, the most important issue is economics. Our country also has many economic issues to solve, such as the U.S.-Korea Free Trade Agreement, the new tariff policy of the U.S. against imported soil and aluminum, the concern about the U.S. and current interest rate flipping, the potential closing of the GM factory in Gunsan, youth unemployment issues, and social changes that may result due to the increase of the minimum wage rate. Consequently, we can fully understand why people who saw the miracle of the 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish wanted to make Jesus king, even though Jesus withdrew himself to a mountain to avoid that. Thus, we need to carefully consider today's scripture, not to solve those economic issues, but to discover important principles about our faith. Let us look at verse 10. When the apostles returned, they reported to Jesus what they had done. Then he took them with him, and they withdrew by themselves to a town called Bethsaida. The apostles who were sent by Jesus visited various villages and declared the good news of God's kingdom, and they returned and reported to Jesus about what happened. Then Jesus took them to Bethsaida. Today's scripture does not state why he took them there, but it is recorded clearly in the Gospel of Mark. Let's look at Mark chapter 6, verses 30 and 31. The apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all they had done and taught. Then, because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." Jesus wanted the apostles to rest. Rest is one of the greatest blessings that God has given to us. In today's era, which boasts of longer life expectancy, but also does not have the concept of a lifetime job or a lifetime occupation, it is a great blessing to be able to work even when we're old, even if the pay is not so great. But if we just work without rest, work productivity will not increase. God did not make humans to be machines that can be operated with buttons. A wise person is someone who knows how much to work, with what kind of attitude, and how to rest. Jesus and the apostles wanted to rest in a quiet place, but people would not leave them alone. Verse 11 says the following, "But the crowds learned about it and followed him. He welcomed them and spoke to them about the kingdom of God and healed those who needed healing." Jesus welcomed the crowd who followed him and told them about the kingdom of God and healed the sick. Jesus also had the apostles declare the kingdom of God and heal the sick. While sharing about the kingdom of God is for spiritual nourishment, healing sicknesses is for physical nourishment. So Jesus fulfills both our spiritual and physical needs. Thus, it is incorrect for a believer to think that only nourishing our soul is right and acceptable, while thinking that asking for physical needs is faith based on only blessings, so failing to request for physical needs. Jesus came not only to save our souls, but to save humans themselves. If only our souls are precious and our bodies are of no value, Jesus would not have performed the miracle of 5 loaves and 2 fish in today's scripture. Also, there's the phrase, "Give us this day our daily bread," in the Lord's Prayer, which Jesus taught us. So we can ask for our needs to Jesus, and this is not something strange or of low quality. But you must keep in mind of one thing. Let's read verse 11 again. "But the crowds learned about it and followed him. He welcomed them and spoke to them about the kingdom of God and healed those who needed healing." Jesus healed the sick, but not everyone. So we can ask about healing of our body and our needs in life. But how God answers our prayers is under his sovereignty. Only when you accept that, your faith will mature and not sway. From time to time, the image of the revival meeting I used to attend in middle and high school crosses my mind. Nowadays, it is typical to have these revival meetings and Bible exposition for about 3 evenings in a row. At the time, we had worship events from Monday evening to Friday early morning. During morning times, seminars on Bible commentaries or on life of faith were held for housewives, and during the evenings, worship for the entire church population were available. During the evening, the worship was often given titles, such as the night of dot, dot, dot. The first day would be the night of repentance. The second day, the night of grace. The third day, the night of the Holy Spirit. And the fourth day, the night of healing, etc. Other days included the day of spiritual gifts and the day of answers. Then during the evening worship of the first day, there would be announcements about the worship of the second day. Tomorrow evening will be the day God pours his grace. All of you who want to receive his grace, please all come. On the second evening, the announcement for the third day's worship service is given. Tomorrow will be the night of Holy Spirit at work. If you're powerless, even though you have been a believer for a long time, or if you want to have a fiery faith, you should definitely come tomorrow. On the third evening, the announcement for the last evening worship is given. The last worship is when God responds the most. If all those with ailments in the body or in their minds come out and pray, your prayers will all be answered. Then all the church members shouted amen so loud that the roof of the worship place might fall. Of course, God can give us such grace, fill us with the Holy Spirit, and cure our diseases. But who can promise that? And who decides the time and the subject of such events? The speaker at the event or God? Have you seen a church event during which everyone was filled with the Holy Spirit and all sick people were cured? If people are unsure of the Holy Spirit or are not cured despite their earnest prayers, is that because of the lack or smallness of their faith? Thinking about it now, it was absurd and rather arrogant. Jesus had the power to heal all diseases, but he did not heal everyone. The apostles, especially Peter and Paul, even gave life to the dead. But nowhere in the Bible does it say that the apostles gave a preview that the Holy Spirit will be present at the certain event, or did they say that the sick will rise at another event? That was because it was all under God's sovereignty and not their own powers. The first step of spiritual maturity is to accept God's works. As Jesus continued to speak and conducted his ministry, it became late in the afternoon. So the apostles came to him and asked in verse 12. Late in the afternoon, the 12 came to him and said, "Send the crowd away so they can go to the surrounding villages and countryside and find food and lodging, because we are in a remote place here." The apostles asked Jesus, "Since it was a remote place, let us take a break and have them find food by themselves and return." But according to the Gospel of John, Jesus spoke first before the apostles asked such question. John chapter 6, verses 5 and 6 says, "When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming toward him, he said to Philip, 'Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?'" Philip seems to have been in charge of food for Jesus and his ministry. But Jesus did not ask Philip to take of the crowd's hunger, but to check Philip's faith status. Philip responded to Jesus' question in John chapter 6, verse 7. Philip answered him, "It would take more than half a year's wages, 200 denarii, to buy enough bread for each one to have a bite." 1 denarii was equal to the daily wage of a healthy man. At the time, each household had about 6 people, and to subsist, they needed about 250 or 300 denarii per year. So 200 denarii was equivalent to annual budget of a 4-person household. At the time, the amount of bread that could be bought with 1 denarii in Palestine was about 12 loaves of wheat bread or 36 loaves of barley bread. So with 200 denarii, one could buy 2,400 loaves of wheat bread or of 7,200 loaves of barley bread. But since there's about 5,000 men in today's scripture, if we count women and the children, there must have been at least 10,000 people. If we buy bread with 200 denarii, there will be about half piece of barley bread or a quarter of wheat bread for each person. 200 denarii that Philip mentioned was the minimum budget needed for a snack. That's why the apostles had said, "We don't have money. And even if we did, this is a remote place. So how about we have them return and take care of food themselves, since we can't buy it here?" Jesus replied to the apostles in verse 13. He replied, "You give them something to eat." The word that's emphasized in the sentence, "You give them something to eat," is "you." Jesus is saying, to solve the dinner for the people in this area, it's not important to check the necessary price or to have them figure it out by themselves or to take care of the meal back in the village. The important factor is you who should be feeding them the dinner. The apostles were shocked at the words of Jesus. Let's look at verse 13. "We have only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, unless we go and buy food for all this crowd." After Jesus fasted for 40 days, he replied to the first test of the devil. "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." When we joked around as students, I remember saying several times, "Man shall not live on bread alone, but on rice." That meant that bread is just a snack, not the main dish. In the Old Testament, the Hebrew word that is translated as bread is lehem, which means a lump or a house. That is why the meaning of Bethlehem is the house of bread. The Greek word that's been translated as bread in the New Testament is artos and has the same meaning as lehem. When the Bible was translated into Korean, there was no bread in Korea. Missionaries made their own bread from flour, and Koreans started to eat bread only after the Korean War. The main meal for the Jewish people during the time of the Old Testament consisted of bread, meat, and drinks. So the important meaning of lehem and artos is not snacks, but the main meal. Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life," artos. "Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." Because Jesus is the main source, the main meal of eternal life, we will never be hungry because of Jesus. So when we refer to the word bread or duck in the Bible at our church, refer to the word as bread itself during the communion or the worship service. When Jesus said, "You give them something to eat," apostles replied, "We have only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish." This is the famous 5 loaves and 2 bread. The 5 loaves of bread and 2 small fish are to indicate that there is very little of something, to emphasize there is a shortage. We express that there is very little. For example, children may ask their parents, "Can we go out to eat today?" Then instead of answering, "We don't have any money," they can say, "We only have 200 wons in our house," to emphasize they don't have much money. Moreover, when we try to express that our wage is very small, we say, "My wage is as small as the tail of the mouse." While insects have even smaller tails than mice, the tail of the mice is the epitome of smallness. The meaning of 5 loaves and 2 fish is there are 5,000 men in this field. We do not have money to buy bread, and neither is this place somewhere we can buy bread. All we have is this boy's lunchbox, meaning that it's like having nothing here. Since chapter 8 until now, the apostles have seen Jesus at work by his side. They saw Jesus rebuking the wind in the Lake of Galilee and calming the storm. They have seen him cure a demon-possessed person who used to not wear clothes and lived in the tombs. They've seen him cure a lady who spent all she owned to cure her bleeding condition for the past 12 years. Peter, John, and Jacob even saw Jesus giving life to the synagogue leader Jairus' 12-year-old daughter. And the apostles have experienced how God works when Jesus sent them away to declare the kingdom of God and gave them the authority to heal the sick and the possessed. Then what would have been the answer Jesus wanted to hear when he said, "You give them something to eat"? He probably wanted to hear, "Lord, we don't have anything or know anything, but we know that you can take care of the hunger of all these people. We believe it, so please take care of it." But the apostles didn't answer in such a way. Nevertheless, when the apostles gave 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish to Jesus, he used them to feed 5,000 men and have 12 leftover baskets. Of the things our church does, there isn't anything without a purpose. But there is something that may look like 5 loaves and 2 fish, but rather serves a graceful purpose similar to feeding the 5,000. It is the Sharing Sunday, the first Sunday of the month. The Sharing Sunday is there not just to help our neighbors because we can afford to bring leftover new items. The 1 bag of rice, 1 bag of ramen, 1 bottle of oil, or 1 canned food that each person brings can be 5 loaves and 2 fish to feed all those who are hungry and poor. But it allows us to experience the fullness of God in our lives and of faith. It means that we are willing to buy something for someone else other than myself, and that we have a heart for our neighbors in our lives and hearts. Moreover, it means that we have an obedient heart. It brings a strong message to our children or our family members to have food bought for someone else in a corner of our house or in our car, and it's better that way than to educate them with 100 words that we need to leave space for our neighbors. The meaning of sharing Sunday provides a fuller meaning to us than to those who will receive what we bring. Just as Jesus said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Today is the fourth Sunday of Lent. To reflect on the sacrifice of the Lord and commemorate the resurrection. Whether we have a lot or little, in front of eternal God, it is just like 5 loaves and 2 fish. Whether our social status is high or low, it is 5 loaves and 2 fish in front of triune God. Regardless of the depth of our knowledge or the range of our abilities, it is 5 loaves and 2 fish in front of God. No, we ourselves are those 5 loaves and 2 fish. Whatever we have, if it is in God's hands, and if ourselves are in the hands of God, they all have the meaning of life and eternity because the Lord who sacrificed his blood on the cross is the source of eternal life, the eternal bread. Let us offer ourselves 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish in the places where God has planted with all his heart and soul. Only then we will become the hands and feet of the Lord who feeds 5,000. Let us pray. Father God, thank you for touching our broken hearts and leading our lives on this fourth Sunday of Lent. We confess that there were times when our places in life seemed like the remote place, and the things we owned seemed small and insignificant. In the hands of the Lord, the 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish that a little boy had could be used to feed 5,000 men, and the apostles gained a memorable lesson from the miracle. Likewise, help us to remember that not just 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, but also our entire lives need to be lifted in the hands of the Lord. Because we are in the hands of the Lord, may we be used as channels of the history of the Lord through the hands of the Lord in the places that God has planted us with all his heart and soul. And thank you for allowing the Me Too movement, which is like the 5 loaves and 2 fish, to be raised in all corners of our society. May our society become clean through the movement, and may men and women created differently respect one another with dignity. Moreover, may all areas of our society become more transparent, and may each person serve others with responsibility and accountability. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.